Christ is risen. Alleluia. In his name, amen. Admittedly, I want to speak most of all to you men who have received divine calls in the past day and those of you who are assigned to vicarages. But God's word certainly speaks to all of us. But maybe by this time a little bit of quiet of mind has come to most of you, because some two-thirds of you have had a great many things to think about these past days. To where will I be called? In which congregation will I serve my vicarage? How will it suit me? How will it suit my family? And the final revelations these past days, I think probably were most exciting and challenging, and yet I also know that they could have some disappointment in them. I so remember the evening of the day when my class received divine calls into the holy ministry. Five of us lived with our individual wife in an apartment complex, and as planned, we went to a restaurant that evening in order to talk through what lay ahead of us in our ministries. But it wasn't a completely joyous time. One seminarian's wife, a cultured woman who had been reared near Chicago, spent the meal crying. He had been called to a small town in the windswept plains of Oklahoma, and what good thing could come out of Oklahoma? I'll tell you now that they spent many years in Oklahoma, and the farthest they moved is where they are now, a middle-sized town in Texas. And he's still a minister of Christ, and she is a happy woman. Two things have empowered his successful ministry through the years: love and the word. And so may you, in your years of ministry, be empowered. The love first comes from God. Peter builds up to us to this point in the letter by reminding us that for our sakes, God chose Christ to be the one who brought us back from the empty way of life with the price of his precious blood. Through him, we believe in God, who raised Christ from the dead and glorified him, so that our faith and hope are in God. That's why Peter can so strongly assert that we have been born again through the living word of God. You and I are God's beloved, baptized into his name, purified by the truth of his salvation. And as you and I are so loved by God, we can love one another deeply from the heart. Wherever you are called, wherever you serve, there will be ample people there to love. They all will need God's love, and they will be looking for you to love them. They won't get much of either if you go among them loving yourself first by being more concerned about whether it's just the right place for you, whether it suits your economic or cultural or social needs, or whether it enables you to take care of your own agenda, hidden or open. But as you obey the truth of God's love, your love will be sincere, a deep love from the heart. That is the gospel of God's love that was preached to you, and it will never fail you as you preach it to others. Because it is a living, eternal, good news word. That's the promise of God as you minister it. That as you speak to people the word of God's law, you also speak to them the word of God's promise of forgiveness. It was a promise made to Isaiah. It was a promise made to those Christians at Peter's time, and it still holds for you and me. All we have as human beings is like grass. All that we are proud of in our earthly existence, beauty, strength, wealth, honor, education, achievement, all such things is thus just the bloom of the grass, and it will fade away. But the word of God's saving love in Jesus Christ will stand forever. It was preached to you, and you heard it, and you believe it. It is yours to preach to others so that they may also hear it and believe it. And so also, confessing their sins, live in God's love. Come now and partake of God's forgiving love. Go and proclaim it. Amen. So may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.